You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. As we go into the recovery phase of the endemic, we're trying to understand a little bit better about how we can remain productive. Co-working spaces will be the talk of town because we are also trying to rethink about how offices are being utilized moving forward. Joining us on the line right now is Stephanie Ping, the CEO and co-founder of Work. Stephanie, thanks for being on the show. I really want to ask you more about how the business is actually performing, considering that 2020 and 2021 must have been hard for a co-working space business like yourselves. So my first question to you is this. Tell us about the business during the MCO period, during the pandemic when it was really hot in Malaysia, before we jump into what's going to happen for this year.
Sure. So, you know, during the pandemic, when the MCO happens and there was multiple lockdowns, and of course the latest one being quite severe, it was like a few months, people were not allowed to leave their houses, and subsequently as well, you know, people that are not essential services cannot come to our space. And we follow the directive of the government. We ensure, you know, whatever needs to be done to fight the pandemic, we support. So of course the spaces were a lot more empty and they're not utilized as much. But what we're seeing is that due to the pandemic and due to this new work style of, you know, the global work from home experiment has basically taken place on a large scale. People are able to work from remotely and connect remotely with technology, as well as they know how to start planning their teams to come to work in a rotational style. And this means that they need to start using real estate in a very flexible way. Hybrid work style is in now. Everybody's talking about it. How can we give this to our staff? And in order to give the best experience, you really shouldn't have, therefore, just one HQ and require everybody to come to work there. In the first place, people's HQ have not been used for quite a long time, and they're empty. And people are working from all over the places, from their homes, from, you know, across town when they need to meet a client, you know, going somewhere else to connect with maybe their teams and so forth. And people want this flexible way of working post-pandemic because they have now adapted to a working style that is much more fitting to their lives instead of us fitting to the real estate. The real estate is fitting to us now. And that's a great thing, I would say, for people in general, because they have more flexibility, they have more work-life balance, and whatever that time that they've saved, they can use it in such a way, and they do much more flexibly and productively to contribute back to their companies. So for example, if you don't require your staff to every day come into office, to show face, whatever, you let them, empower them to have the freedom to go and interact with their clients, maybe near to their clients' homes, and then drop by to a co-working space. They need to print something, they need to take a call, they need to take an interview. They do it there. They're not wasting so much time, you know, like driving from place to place, go back to HQ, that kind of stuff. It's much more a better way to work and much more empowering and so much more flexible and also cost efficient.
Yeah, I just want to also ask you about how 2022 is going to shape up for work, because 21 and 2020 has been a tough year for everyone, including co-working spaces. Do you feel that this year is going to be a good year for you guys, considering that people are moving towards the recovery phase right now?
Absolutely. I think 2022, you know, and 2021, 2020, these are like seminal years for a lot of people in the industry. And for our industry, you know, what we see is that people are starting to demand more innovation in the way that they use offices. And that's great for an innovation company like ours, where we are providing people spaces to use in a very, in a style that suits the way that they should be working or suit how they can be most productive. So in terms of, you know, ongoing pandemic, the pandemic, people are saying will stay for quite a while, in the sense that it's moving from that pandemic to an endemic stage, and we all have to embrace that. We have to understand that it's the new normal now. It's not going to revert to the old normal, and the new normal is here to stay, and we just have to embrace it. So embrace technology, embrace working from everywhere, embrace working in a more productive way where you just have more flexibility in the way you scale your teams, in the way you might want to scale back certain times during, you know, shutdown, or if the COVID has increased, you might want to scale back the amount of spaces that you need at a time. Rotational work styles, all these things can really help you work in the new world, and we are providing all of that stuff.
We need to also understand about how work came into being. Maybe you can share with us your journey into creating or co-founding the company, and what are the plans moving forward beyond 2022?
Sure, yeah. I think, you know, it depends on how far you want to go back, but really soul searching on, you know, what makes me want to do this, get up every day and be motivated and be really excited about what I do, and to really want to help people have a better work life. I think, in a way, I'm meant to do this. I remember the Steve Jobs story about how you may not know where you're going, but towards a certain point in your life, you understand why you've gone through certain things. I think I'm definitely going through that phase of my career. And I feel like it comes from the fact that my grandfather was actually quite a successful businessman many, many years ago. He's not with us now. But when he passed away due to health issues, his business was managed by trustees and they were not managing well. And in order to keep the legacy alive, when my dad came of age, my grandmother wanted him to take it over and turn it around. At that point, the business was really not doing well, and it was in a lot of debt, and the trustees had a really difficult time with it, or did not manage it well. And what happened was that, you know, my dad at the ripe age of 21 had to work really hard and had to start picking things up quickly in order to manage this business and turn it around and, you know, start making money on it, and even pay back the debts and bring it back to, bring it back to life. So how he did that really was to leverage off of a community of business people, friends, families around, to help him get up to speed in a quick way, and also help him get through, you know, one of the toughest times that you can throw at a young person to turn around a business for the sake of family, for the sake of survival. And these stories really make me understand the power of people, the power of connecting, of collaborating, of helping each other out for people's productive survival and thriving. So, you know, when I went to work at Axis Street, which is a real estate company or a fund, I can see how in this industry, people can really layer on the human aspect to make whoever's using it much more successful. And I wanted to make sure that real estate fits into people's lives and help them succeed instead of us fitting into real estate. So I have been a renter for a long time in my life, and I understand that point of view. It's inconvenient, it's very expensive, expensive to rent, expensive to own, and it just does not move as fast as how humans use it. You have to rent a place for 3 years, you're locked into it, you know, maybe your landlord does not care if you're successful in your work life. We want to change all of that. And I think, you know, definitely the infrastructure is important. Definitely giving flexibility how you kind of structure people using the real estate in a way that whenever they want to use it, wherever they want to use it, they can. But also the human element of people helping each other is, you know, I would say the important cream on top of the rest of it.
Okay. Stephanie, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with the co-working space company, Work. Welcome back. I have with me on the line Stephanie Ping, the CEO and co-founder of Work. Stephanie, let's pick up where we left off just now when it comes to adopting a hybrid or decentralized work structure. I know you touched a little bit on that, but maybe you could tell us a little bit more about how some of your clients or some of your customers right now are working, and perhaps where are the trends going to leading into 2022 and beyond?
Sure. I think we're seeing a number of styles in working. Some clients really want to give the teams multiple places to work out of, in multiple locations, and then whenever they want. Some teams are on rotational basis. Sometimes it's really up to you, however you want to use the real estate. And these teams are being empowered to come in when they want to. But what we are seeing is that not everybody can work from home all the time, every time. There could be distractions in the house. Sometimes people just want an office environment. They need the infrastructure, the printing, the Wi-Fi, a set of people that they can be conducive with and work together. And they would like this to be, you know, either near their homes or near their customers or near wherever that maybe their suppliers. And they want it kind of in multiple locations instead of just in one location downtown or something. So we're seeing companies empower their teams like that. And also during the pandemic, a lot of companies are seeing that their HQ is not being utilized. You know, from having 10 floors, they find that really only one floor is being utilized at any given one time, or the number of people is not that many in their offices. And how can they scale this down and yet provide the experience and the infrastructure to their team in a much more efficient way without having to build many, many locations and manage things? So even the HQ side of things, you can think people are spread out, but companies, some of them still need HQs. And for the HQ, how do you plan the number of headcount that you need? Things are fluid. You may need to scale all of a sudden, or you may need to scale back. So even within that HQ, we are providing consultancy to our clients to see which are your teams that are able to work more from remote, which are teams that can't. And we help them talk to their employees as well as do research in order how to plan. And in that manner, we can structure the HQ in a much more effective way. And also we would manage the extra space that they have to plan for the expansion next door and turn it, say, into a co-working space in the meantime, rent it out to other users until such time that they need to grow into it, so that they don't have to take a large space and then waste it for an entire 3-year lease until they decided that they need to expand it, which they don't even know what are their plans currently. So this extreme flexibility is something that they're getting. And even within the company itself, you know, shifting from one person, one desk to agile working or hot desking is also something that we're helping them plan. So going from one person's desk in order to the HQ and then the wider network is something that we're providing all these companies. And it really will help them embrace the future of working flexibility and, you know, giving their staff a great place to connect. And helping their culture as well as how they can work much more efficiently, cost effectively, as well as increase the productivity of their teams.
Because of this, that whole element of collaboration and networking is actually quite crucial, but we're doing so in a safe manner, or we try to. And it's not just within the organization, intra-organization, it's also inter-organization as well. How do you feel collaboration and networking is going to shape up, considering that all these restrictions are in place and just generally that whole hesitancy of people trying to, you know, be in you know, clients' offices or whatever, right? It's very important for us to understand human behavior right now. How do you think this will move forward when it comes to collaborating with our colleagues and our clients, considering that we are still battling the pandemic?
Yeah, so when the pandemic hit, there was a lot of online events and online, you know, gatherings, and that's great. The good thing about that is that you do not have to commute to this gathering. You can go there at the drop of a hat from wherever you are. So it's very convenient. A lot more people go to these events because they can easily log in. But the human element and the vibe and the connection is not so easy to build just online. Ultimately, you will still have to meet up some point for training, for coaching, for creative work. And that you might, you know, you don't have to go to office every day. You would go to say a co-working space and have your team building, have your training, have your one-on-one coaching. You can also go for quiet working time if you can't do it from home. But these spaces are built in such a way where there's huddle corners, there's, you know, like rooms for you to do in-person training and brainstorming. And that's how you want to do it. You do a hybrid. Sometimes you need to come together when you need to do it. When you don't need to, then, you know, by all means, take that call from home or have the quiet work time at home. And if you know how to marry these two and interweave them into your work life, you're going to be a much more productive person.
All right, we'll go for one more short break. When we come back, we'll conclude conversation with Stephanie Ping of Work. Welcome back. This is Notepad. I have with me on the line Stephanie Ping, the co-founder and CEO of the co-working company Work. Let's talk a little bit more about the next steps for the company. How are you planning on attracting new members and new clients to come into your spaces and try to utilize the facilities that you guys are offering right now?
I think, you know, companies are seeing the need to provide this. And they're also seeing a lot of gains that they can get out of, you know, giving this work style to their teams. Firstly, if they can empower their teams, they find that their teams are much more happy as well as more productive. And I think there was a study, and I can't remember exactly, but I believe I've read 13% of there was a company that implemented this, their employees are much more efficient as well as much more engaged. And so basically, you know, in terms of getting the word out to these companies and fulfilling their needs, is to really do a good job in understanding them and then telling them, you know, what are the findings that we have in the market. We've done studies with companies where we help them talk to their teams and understand their work needs, and then also using surveys, have a formal way for their teams to voice out what are the ways that they need to work in order to be the most productive self. We find that the employees are very honest when they tell us, and they know best how they work, and they know best what is the way they need to work in order to contribute the most. So you find that some departments are actually working, you know, they need more office time, some departments do not, and how do they do that? So as and when we share this information in a very PNC way, but these findings, we find more and more companies coming to us, asking us, how can we do this? Can you consult us in this? We want to move towards this, but we don't know how. And really for us is to have the interest at heart, understand it from two points of view, the organizational point of view and the staff point of view, and then sharing general knowledge about this in order to help people even think about it, and then they will just come to us when they need something.
Because of that, you already have a few premises right now. Are you planning on expansion? Are you planning on growing the business outright?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, during the pandemic, of course, we are very careful and very prudent and watching the situation, but we've always had our growth plans. So, you know, in 5 years' time, we'd like to grow 1 million square feet in Malaysia alone. And this means that basically, we will be growing, you know, in Klang Valley first and then to the rest of Malaysia in the smaller cities and suburban areas and in the other states. So we definitely have plans to add more to our network, but of course, very sustainably, profitably, and ensuring that it's what the market needs in a way and pricing model and all of that, that the market would be able to sustain in order to build the company very well as at every stage, it's very safe.
Does this also mean growing the business internationally or at least within the region?
Yes, definitely we have, you know, regional ambitions and we want to service as many people as we can. And that's why we have very reasonably priced models, value model for people. And when we grow, we want to grow intelligently and smartly. So not haphazardly sort of going to many, many countries all at the same time, and then you're being sort of like not focusing. But we can grow to a larger region if we really focus one by one in terms of you know, making sure the business model is right first, which is what we're doing, climb valley to the rest of the states in Malaysia. And then, you know, when you've got your footing, and now we do already, I'm pretty sure we can translate a lot of things that we do over here to all the other countries that are somewhat really similar to Malaysia. They're quite spread out in their population. Their purchasing power parity may not be as high as some of the huge cities of the world, like New York, something like that. But these countries, you know, like Indonesia, Vietnam, all those, Thailand, they have, they are, I wouldn't say exactly the same, but they're definitely of a similar landscape with Malaysia, much more so than the big big cities. And therefore, we have ambitions for that. But of course, we want to ensure that we do it right at every single step.
The issue in growing your business is in terms of your competitors with yourselves. It's rather commoditized. You know, there is a certain level of service quality that your members are looking for, which is probably going to be provided for by your competitors as well as yourself. There's also that location situation. Many of your competitors are also in the same place as you are, and you are also in the same place, you know, generally speaking, right? Business hubs, high density areas maybe. So how do you differentiate yourself and your value proposition with that of your competitors, considering that this industry is rather commoditized?
Actually, that could be a perceptional thing whereby a lot of co-working spaces, you know, our actually friends, they're not exactly the same, or in fact, they're very different. I know one that their value proposition is in hospitality. So if you go there, you know, you will be serviced like a hotel, and you'll have, you know, great amenities. It costs more, but on like a work site, what we provide is a productive business community. So you may not get servicing like a hotel and a concierge and a valet, but when you come here, you get people to collaborate with, you get to know who's working in here. We would have networking events where you would get exactly the connections that you need. And at the same time also, you know, all the things that we put into place to ensure that when you come down and sit down today to work, you achieve a lot more in your work day than wherever else you work. So, you know, in layman terms, if you go to a hotel, you might be serviced very well, but you might not know who's the neighbor staying in the room next to you, and you might not be doing business with him. Whereas a hotel that is very business community might want to introduce you to your next door neighbor. You might start doing business with them. You not have, you know, start knowing a lot of people there, and they might never service you with the very hospitality element. So there's all kinds of different ones, and that's our USP, which is on the community side. And in terms of the enterprise side, how you service your clients in terms of the number of network locations that you have, as well as how you consult them to plan for their workforce. And for us, we even fund the renovation and then manage the entire space for them until the end. These are all things that are in place to set us apart, as well as really to service the clients in the best way. So I like I always say, going back to the story of my grandfather, community is strong. It's something that you cannot build over time. When you have it, it grows by itself. When you have it, it's very sticky, and it's so useful that people will drive across town all the way from Puchong all the way to you know, Subang or TDDI. When they have a coping space right next door to them, they will come to our spaces because they find that that's the USP that they really are gravitating towards.
Stephanie, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. Final word in terms of the direction of this industry and the direction of the recovery. Do you feel optimistic about this year, or do you feel that this is still a cautious year to be thinking about full-on business recovery for the economy as well as some other industries like yourselves in the co-working space?
I definitely think that you should always be optimistic, because every opportunity, every change, every challenge, there's always something to get out of in if you know how to deal with it and see it as a positive change. So of course, you know, pandemic is a difficult situation for a lot of people, but a lot of people have thrived out of the pandemic. They moved online. They have actually, you know, a lot of our customers, which are businesses here, they're actually doing so much better, and they're taking much more spaces because they know how to digitize and they know how to move online with their businesses. And I don't see them suffering. In fact, I see them doing so much better. And similarly, you know, for companies on the human aspect side, on the HR side, if you know how to embrace how to work flexibly with your teams, they're going to say, I want to belong to this company. They empower me with freedom, flexibility. They empower me with, you know, incentive system that I am aligned with the company. And I'm using the time that I save to contribute to my company. These are all the things that's going to explode in productivity for the economy. So I would say that it's definitely very optimistic, but also you have to be careful, right? You have to risk manage. You have to ensure that your bottom line is met. You have to ensure that you always think that your downside is somewhere, and you want to take care of that years ahead of it happening, because you don't know exactly when it's going to happen. But it doesn't mean that you cannot grow a lot and take each situation as an opportunity to change and to grow with it. So it's kind of like both sides, taking care of your downside always and seeing how you can increase your upside, and together that will increase the viability and the strength of your business all the way.
All right, thank you very much, Stephanie. Good words. Continue to remain optimistic for the year. But that was our conversation with Stephanie Fing, the CEO and co-founder of Work. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad over there. You can also look for Work, W-O-R-K. Until then, thanks very much for watching, and catch you in the next one.